At that time Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a Canaanite woman of that district came out and called, "Have pity on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But Jesus did not say a word in answer to her. Jesus' disciples came and asked him, "Send her away, for she keeps calling out after us." And he said in reply, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the woman came and did Jesus homage, saying, "Lord, help me." And he said in reply, "It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." And she said, "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." Then Jesus said to her in reply, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And the woman's daughter was healed from that hour. The Gospel of the Lord. The Gospel today is about two things. The first is the clever exchange between Jesus and the woman, whose love for her daughter would not be denied. The second comes from the background of Matthew's community and its growth and understanding of how faith in Jesus was to come to the Gentile members of the community. The Gentiles are to approach the God of Israel through Israel. And Matthew recalls how Jesus stresses that he was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And in the clever exchange about dogs and scraps, the faith of the woman prevails. Actually, the words designating the puppy of the household take away some of the seeming harshness of the exchange. Jesus is the representative of the Jewish people through whom we approach the God of Israel. For me, this gives an expanded expression of the mystery of God's call in his life in the hearts of all peoples. While there is a universal call, the faith is realized in particular customs and rituals, most specifically in the Eucharist, and the baptism which it presumes. On this date, the 17th of July, I attended the ordination of one of my students in Eastern African Dominican Vicariate. Now a month later, I'm able to reflect on that. I'd been his novice master and later his student master as he studied for the priesthood in Nairobi, Kenya. As is the custom in Eastern Africa, the ordination often takes place in the home village or the diocese of the candidate. The student brother, Jude Nasi, is from Manushi Parish in Moshi, Tanzania. The day before, we set out going south toward the border of Tanzania, just to the west of Mount Kilimanjaro. Most of the day, we crossed the parched high desert, and then toward evening, circled south of the great mountain into the very fertile area of Moshi. Brother Jude, when I asked him where we would stay, had said that he wanted me to have the full village experience. This came to mind as we plunged up on the shoulder of Mount Kilimanjaro and the roads turned to slick mud and the foliage a dripping, dense green. Finally, after a very long day, we were led into a narrow roadway and arrived at the farm where we were to stay. It was pitch dark, and a little girl greeted us warmly and took our luggage and practiced her English on us. We were ushered into a room and then sat awaiting what would come next. After 45 minutes, the man of the house joined us and said, "Where are you from?" It turns out that he was indeed Jude's uncle, but the wrong one. Soon the cars returned and we plunged on through the mud, getting stuck once, but finally getting things sorted out. In a late night supper, the matoke, the cooked bananas, never tasted so good. The next day, the ordination was to begin at 10 o'clock, and the bishop, as is often the custom, arrived at 10:25, and slowly we headed toward an 11 a.m. start. The Moshi Cathedral is very large, and it was packed. 12 priests were being ordained, and the celebration was really excellent. The thing that impressed me most was that there were 250 priests on the altar, and only a few of them were missionaries. The laying on of hands took 20 minutes, yet the ceremony was complete 2.5 hours, music was outstanding, and you get the feeling that this is a new, self-confident church with its own customs and traditions and a strong and vibrant faith. At the end of Mass, the people presented the bishop, who is newly appointed, with a new four-wheel drive vehicle, and I'm sure he'll have use of it to get around the mountain. I found myself delighted with the ordination of a brother that I'd received as a novice. But like the lady in the gospel, today I was called beyond my immediate concerns to witness a larger church, one that is distinctive with its own customs and traditions, and yet part of a greater church which finds its identity in the celebration of God's life among us in the Eucharist. As we made our way back to the village, we were greeted on the road by all the neighbors waving branches, and we gathered in the local church for prayers and then went on to a dinner in a makeshift shelter near the church. Father Jude, with many colorful leis around his neck, led the festivities. Just before the meal, a large platter covered with palm leaves was brought out, and what they call katikeiki. It was a full roasted goat, and Father Jude cut off small pieces and gave them to the guests of honor and his mother and uncle. After the meal, guests were introduced, and in the general African custom, you're expected to say, sing, or do something to further the entertainment. At the end of the evening, my greatest joy was to receive Father Jude's first blessing. It sort of closed that circle and made alive for me that larger sense of church, which is a constant source of fascination and joy. Like the woman in the gospel, our urgent, private concerns need to become connected and located in that larger, more generous expression, which is our church.